What if? Two challenging words that we'll discuss on this episode of the Gary Zimek Show. Stay tuned. Here we go. It's Monday of Holy Week. Welcome to the program. Glad to have you with me. I'm Gary Zimek, and I'm going to be here with you for the next 30 minutes. We got a series of special programs all week as we conclude our Lenten radio retreat. Rediscover Jesus has been the book that we've been looking at. Thank you for the encouraging emails that you have sent. This retreat has been a success. I knew it would be. I knew the Holy Spirit would come through. And I thank you for confirming that, for letting me know that you've appreciated it. And as I discussed on Relevant Radio this morning, and I feel really strongly about this. If you feel that this Lent has not been a success for you, I don't want you to panic. I want you to take time this week and make the best use of the days that you've been given. You have been given today. God has you here for a reason. It's not too late. It's never too late when it comes to Jesus to make this your best Lent ever. Look at this Holy Week as a Lent within a Lent, or a sort of a mini Lent, if you will. And as we conclude this retreat, just ask the Lord to help you and try your best to deny yourself in some way. And in fact, the verse that I talked about on Relevant Radio this morning was, and I put it out on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram as well, the verse was Luke 9:23, when asked if or how what we should do, what does it take to be a follower of Christ? Jesus said to deny yourself, to take up your cross, and to follow him. Luke 9:23. That's one of my favorite Bible verses because it's such a powerful one. How do we deny ourselves? We can deny ourselves in some way today. Give up your favorite beverage. Turn off the radio. Turn off the TV. Spend a little time in prayer. 5 minutes. Do something you would rather not do. We've talked about these things. Matthew Kelly talked about these in the book over the past few weeks. Deny yourself in some way. Pick up your cross. You're going to have suffering in your life today. Some kind of suffering. Accept it. Unite whatever comes your way with the suffering of Christ. That's how you pick up your cross. And of course, ask him for the grace to help you deal with it and follow him. Follow him. Where's he going? Well, this week he's headed to Calvary. And that's the journey that we need to go on if we want to follow him. That means there's going to be some suffering in your life. Whether or not you're a follower of Christ, you're going to have suffering in your life. But there is nothing worse than wasted suffering. When we're followers of Christ, suffering can become meaningful. Suffering has a value. And we also know that when we call on him and we depend on his grace, we can experience peace even in suffering. So it really is a sweet deal for us. And let's make the best use of this Holy Week and try to unite ourselves more closely with Jesus. And if you come out of Lent being closer to the Lord than when you went in, doesn't matter how close, if you find yourself praying more, if you find yourself desiring to pray more, if you find yourself thinking about our Lord more, if you find yourself thinking about how much of a lukewarm person you are, whatever it is, be thankful for it. Be thankful for it. It's a grace. And we've all got to start somewhere. I think one of the big problems is, and the evil one loves this, is thinking or being too hard on ourselves or thinking that we didn't make enough progress or we're not making enough progress, so we might as well just quit. No, never quit. Always try to do something. Today we'll talk about what if. This is a bit lengthy today, so we'll see how much of this I'm going to cover. I might skim a little bit in order to get in the daily mass readings, but we have 3 more days of material today, tomorrow, and Wednesday, and then Thursday we'll focus on some Holy Thursday thoughts. And then Friday, Good Friday, we'll probably do the Stations of the Cross, maybe read John's Passion. I'm not sure exactly how we're going to do that on Friday, but we've got lots of good things coming your way. I hope you'll stick with me for the remainder of the week, and I hope you'll stick with me after that, because we're going to continue this show. I've been on the air for over 5 years on Blog Talk Radio. I don't intend to go anywhere, so if the good Lord continues to have me here, and you continue to support my work through your donations, which you have, you're the reason I'm here, so thank you. And you want me here, I'm going to still be here. So again, I always say God willing, because it's up to him ultimately, but I thank you for joining me on the program. I want to let you know, by the way, that I got something special in the mail the other day, which ties into my beverage du jour. Here we go. If you're thinking that it sounds like Mystic Monk cinnamon coffee cake coffee, you are correct. My shipment of Mystic Monk coffee came in the mail the other day, and I'm really thrilled about it. I'm so excited to put it out on Facebook. If you're looking for some of the best coffee that you have ever experienced, you've got to check out Mystic Monk Coffee. You can find out more by visiting my website, followingthetruth.com, and clicking on the Mystic Monk image. Anytime you purchase their coffee through my website, you not only help me, you help the monks, the Carmelite monks who brew the coffee, and you help yourself because you get some great coffee. I would encourage you, if you're interested, to when you're in the on the Mystic Monk website, you go there, just click on the Mystic Monk image on my website, followingthetruth.com. But once you're on their image, their website, make sure you sign up for their newsletter. These men are good, holy monks. They love Our Lady. They do a great job. And their newsletters are very inspiring. So make sure you sign up for the Mystic Monk newsletter as well. I believe you can do that from their website. If you have any questions, let me know. But thank you for all of your support for purchasing Mystic Monk coffee. Again, these little things, they might not seem like a big deal to you, but they're a big deal to me. And they help keep this program on the air. You're purchasing items from my Amazon store. If you're someone who shops on Amazon and you just keep using the link on followingthetruth.com, that helps me tremendously. And you get the same ordinary deals that you get from Amazon.com. And of course, your financial donations, your monthly sponsorships of my work. I really couldn't do it without you. So I'm very grateful you are in my prayers. And I ask you, if you're someone who has not contributed and you'd be able to maybe swing a little contribution, maybe $10 a month, $5 a month, or if you're able to make a big one-time donation. I mean, no amount is too small, no amount is too large. I would be so grateful, and it would really help me because, as you may know, you may not know, I do this full-time. I support my family by speaking, by writing, by doing this program, and it's a great blessing to have people like you who help me to stay on the air. So please keep that in mind. If you haven't done so and you'd like to help me keep the show on the air, I would greatly appreciate it. Quick reminder that this evening, I'm recording this early today, early in the day, I'll be speaking at St. Andrew's Catholic Church in Newtown, Pennsylvania, which is in the Philadelphia suburbs. If you hear this in time and you're still able to get out there, come on out. And I'll be speaking about moving from fear to faith, one of my favorite topics, at St. Andrew's Catholic Church in Newtown, PA. More details can be found on my website, followingthetruth.com. All right, let's pray, and then we'll get right on with the program. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, as we begin this Holy Week, we ask you to help us to grow closer to you. Please grant us the grace that we need to persevere, to put aside our earthly desires, and to do what it takes to bring ourselves closer to you. Please help us, because we can't do this by ourselves. Father, we thank you for giving us another day. We thank you for all of the blessings that you continue to give to us. Especially, we're thankful for the blessing of your Son, Jesus. We ask you to help those who are sick, those who are struggling financially, those who are dealing with doubt or despair, those who are anxious, those who are lonely, those who are far away from you. Please draw them close to you. Help them to come close to you and to get to know you through your Son, Jesus. Please use us in any way that you can to draw other people close to you. Father, we ask that you bless anyone listening to this program, that you help them to deal with whatever it is that they're dealing with. We present to you our own personal needs, whatever they may be. We know that you can handle them better than we can. We know that you'll never give us anything that we can't handle. So we ask for the grace to deal with whatever we're dealing with. Father, I also ask you to take this show over for me. Please speak through me. Please open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to your message this day. And we ask for all of these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And now we turn to our Blessed Mother Mary as we begin this Holy Week, and we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You know, we had a big weekend. Saturday was the solemnity of Saint Joseph. And don't discount him in helping you to grow closer to Jesus. Saint Joseph is very, very good, especially for people who are husbands and fathers, and for everybody. But for somebody like me, Joseph is a great resource because he really wants to lead people to Jesus, as does his wife, the Blessed Mother, Mary. Continue to turn to her and ask for her help. Yesterday, it was Palm Sunday, we got to hear the Passion of our Lord. Very, very powerful story. And I would encourage you this week to read it over again. We read Luke's version at Mass, but a great Holy Week exercise would be to read through all of the Passions. Matthew has one, Mark has one, Luke has one, and John has one as well. They're all slightly different. They all tell the same story, but they have different details. So if you're looking for a special way to go through Holy Week, you should really consider reading the Passions and just take your time and read them very slowly. And I really think that you would get a lot out of the story. But again, I thank you for joining me today. I thank you for participating in this retreat. It's been an amazing several weeks, and we're not done yet. So why don't we get started? Let's look at a very challenging pair of words. What if? This is chapter 38. We're almost to the end of this book. Chapter 38. Have you ever considered the possibility that it's all true? The culture is constantly attacking Christianity, questioning everything and casting doubts. Over time, this constant undermining of the faith can begin to have a real effect on us. But what if it is all true? What if everything Jesus talks about in the Gospels is true? We need to think about this. We really do. We need to think about the Lord's message in the Gospels and pause for a minute, and this is the perfect week to do it, and ask ourselves, what if it is all true? Now, of course, we know that it's true. As Christians, we believe that it's true, but sometimes it doesn't feel like it's true. Let's hear what Mr. Kelly has to say. What if we really do need to account for the life we have lived? What if heaven and hell do exist? The joy of eternity with God and the eternal weeping of separation from Him. Life, death, heaven, hell, God, eternity, good and evil. What if it is all real? Now, don't take this the wrong way, the way he writes this. We know it's all real. But again, and I agree with this, sometimes it doesn't feel real. What you're looking at with your eyes, that feels real. The problems you're going through, that feels real. Sometimes Jesus Christ and his promises just doesn't feel real. This is a good week to really meditate on this and to ask the Lord to help you really feel his presence, and to help you believe with all your heart that everything he promised is true. I can assure you it's true. You probably know it's true. But if you're going through a crisis right now, if you're looking at what you feel to be a hopeless problem, you might not think that it's real. It is. We need to sometimes do some work, though, to make ourselves really believe that it is all real. Now, recently a friend, and this is Matthew's book again, recently a friend shared a what-if letter that he had written and given to each of his children and their spouses at their Thanksgiving dinner. He was gracious enough to allow me to include it here. Now, let's see. This is long, and I don't really want to read this whole thing because I want to get to the daily mass reading. So if you get a chance, read it over, read this letter, and I'll just read excerpts of it. Here's the letter. Have you ever stopped to wonder, what if it's all true? What do I mean by that? Well, I'm talking about everything that Jesus said, revealed, and fulfilled. We've heard it, we've listened to it, even from time to time, have thought about it. Well, over the last year in particular, I've been thinking about it a lot. It is a thought that will not leave me. I think that it is so present in thought to me because my Heavenly Father wants me to come to grips with it. What does it really mean if it is all true? This much I know. If it is, and it is, then I can never be the same again. Not just one part of my life, not just an aspect here or there, but everything about me is forever to be changed. I can never be the same again. And you know what? I think, and this is Gary speaking, I think that the reason we don't think or feel that everything Jesus said was real and his messages was real, were real, is that we don't take the time to think about them. This is your week to think about them. Outside of hearing it at yesterday's Mass, when was the last time you really read and meditated on our Lord's Passion? It's probably been a while. And I'm sure it moved you. And I think if you delve into it a little bit more, and I talked about this on Relevant Radio, if you thought about what it meant to be scourged, Jesus was scourged, that's just thrown in the passion narrative. Google scourging. Take a look at what the process involved. It was unbelievably painful. Many victims of scourging died, or just about died, from the scourging alone. What was it like to be crowned with thorns? Again, there is information out there about the kind of thorns that surrounded our Lord's head. They weren't the little thorns that we stick our fingers with when we're pruning rose bushes. They were long, painful thorns. When you stop and think about that, when you stop and think about what it's like to have somebody spit in your face, and remember, he's the Savior of these people who are heaping this abuse on him. If you stop and think about it, if you stop and think what it's like to carry a cross, we have no idea, and to fall, and to skin your knees, in addition to the pain of the scourging, and the thorns, and the blood loss, and the humiliation. If you really think about it, you're going to be a lot more moved by what Jesus did for you. He didn't do it for himself. He did it for you. And he did it for me. But we often don't take the time to think about this. And therefore, you'll be more willing to listen to what Jesus says when he talks about heaven and hell. When he talks about many people are going to cry, Lord, Lord, but he doesn't really know them. Of course, he knows everyone. But the point he's trying to make is that we're not worshiping him with our hearts. We do it with our lips sometimes. When you think about all these things, you're going to take your Catholic faith a lot more seriously. You're going to take your relationship with Jesus Christ a lot more seriously. We need to do that. We need to do that. And I'm not pointing fingers at you, believe me. I'm thinking of myself. I do a pretty lousy job when it comes to this. And I'm going to work on this during Holy Week. So take some time to read the full letter. Matthew Kelly continues to say, I'd like to suggest two exercises. First, write a what-if letter to yourself. Second, write a what-if letter to someone in your life. You may decide to write to your children. You may decide to write to your parents. You may decide to write to an old college roommate, a friend from a job you used to have, or someone who crossed your path recently or long ago. Some people will ignore such a letter, but for others, it will be a life-altering moment. What if? It is a question worthy of our serious consideration. And if it really is as all, and if it really is all as Jesus explains it, do you really want to be on the wrong side of it when your time comes? We all die, and yet so often we conduct our lives as if we were going to live forever. Let me read that again. I really want that to sink in. We all die, and yet so often we conduct our lives as if we were going to live forever. If you knew that you were going to die 1 year from today, how would you change your life? Why are you waiting? Life is short. Too often we take for granted next week and next month and next year. We make plans for the future, not knowing if that future will be given to us. God gives us life one moment at a time, and He wants us to experience life in every breath we take. God and life are always to be found in the now. Live each now passionately with God. You may not, and this is me talking, you may not see tomorrow. I don't know if I will see tomorrow. Am I living today as if it's my last day? And that doesn't mean, am I having as much fun as possible? Am I trying to obtain as much pleasure as possible? It means, am I prepared to die and be judged today? There's a good chance that thinking that about that is really going to spur you on to make some changes in your life. Live today as if it's your last day. Live today as if it's your last day, because it might be. I'm not trying to be a downer here, but I'm just trying to keep it real. You have today. You have the moment right now to do something about your relationship with Christ, to make this your best Lent ever. Do it. God wants you to live your best possible life. Forget about yesterday. Forget about all your yesterdays. You cannot change them. God is more interested in your future than He is in your past, but He is most interested in your now. Starting right now, today, God wants you to begin intentionally living your best life. How is the best way to live? This is the question that the great thinkers of every age grapple with. It's also a question that we each wrestle with in a deeply personal way. We're all searching for the best way to live. Sometimes it's a conscious search, and sometimes it's an unconscious yearning for something more or different. The best way to live is one of life's biggest questions. It is a question we must each answer for ourselves. I have come to the conclusion that the radical gospel of Jesus Christ is the best way to live. I have thought long and hard about this, explored dozens of alternative philosophies, and foolishly tried to come up with my own self-interested way of living, but all of these fell short. I am totally convinced that the life Jesus invites us to in the Gospels is the best way to live. In fact, I'm so convinced that even if you could prove to me that God does not exist, that eternity does not exist, and that even after we die, we simply cease to exist, I would still believe that the teachings of Jesus offer the best way to live. I'm a practical man. The gospel works. It helps everyone who embraces it to increasingly become more perfectly themselves. It celebrates the dignity of the human person, which is a primary truth that is indispensable if we are to understand the world around us. It fosters phenomenal relationships and encourages vibrant and orderly community. It promotes right relationships between humanity and nature. It just works. In an amazingly practical way, the gospel is the answer to all the deeply personal questions of life and the light that shows us the next step to take in our journey. There is simply no better way to live. Some days I'm woefully inadequate in my attempts to live this gospel. Sometimes this is because I'm sinful and selfish and weak and broken. Other times it's because I'm proud, stubborn, resistant, arrogant, and attached to my own ways. So no, I don't always live up to the life-giving invitation God extends to me in the gospel. But I know this, I'm always happier when I'm trying to. I have observed myself enough to know that there is a direct connection between my effort to live the gospel and the amount of joy in my soul. I don't know of a better way to live, do you? The gospel is pure genius. It is the ultimate worldview, the most complete spiritual manual, and the best way to live. Isn't it time you gave yourself over wholeheartedly to the pursuit of a gospel life? Now, this took a little bit longer today, but I think this was an unbelievably powerful meditation. I ask you to read it over again and make that commitment today. You're going to hear the gospel in a few minutes. I will read today's gospel from Daily Mass. Jesus has a message for you today. Every day, we have the opportunity to listen to some message from the gospel. Live it. Live it. Put it into practice in your life. You will not only be happier, but this is the way that you grow closer to Christ. And this is the way that you will get to heaven. Today's point to ponder. the chances of it all being true are very high, I'll say. Today's verse to live, Psalm 143:10, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on a level path. Question to consider, if you were dying, would you be paying more attention to your spiritual health than you are today? Prayer, Jesus, guide my words, thoughts, and actions so that I can live my best life and become the best version of myself. Now, I want to read today's gospel, the gospel from Monday of Holy Week. And again, I that was a bit lengthy today, but there were some things that had to be said. That's a powerful message. And if you make that decision to live the gospel, to take it seriously, to really accept our Lord's gift that he gives us, the gift of himself and the gift of his words in sacred scripture, you are going to be in great shape for the rest of your life. If nothing else, during this Lent, if you make that vow to one day at a time live the gospel message, your life will be changed forever, and this will be your best Lent ever. Just make that vow, and then take it one day at a time. Today's gospel is from John chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. 6 days before Passover came to Bethany, 6 days before Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. They gave a dinner for him there, and Martha served, while Lazarus was one of those reclining at table with him. Mary took a liter of costly perfumed oil, made from genuine aromatic nard, and anointed the feet of Jesus and dried them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Then Judas the Iscariot, one of his disciples, and the one who would betray him, said, "Why was this oil not sold for 300 days' wages and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief and held the money bag and used to steal the contributions. So Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Let her keep this for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." The large crowd of the Jews found out that he was there and came not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. And the chief priests plotted to kill Lazarus too, because many of the Jews were turning away and believing in Jesus because of him. We have an incredible gift. Jesus Christ is in our midst. We can receive him we can receive him body, blood, soul, and divinity in Holy Communion. That's his real presence. That's really him. And that's a great gift. Please take advantage of it. Spend time before his Eucharistic presence. Get to daily Mass if you can. But remember, he's here with you spiritually. He just spoke to you through the words of that gospel passage. Are you taking advantage of this great opportunity with Jesus Christ today? Remember, this could be your last day. We've all messed up. We all continue to mess up. We're all weak. We've all failed many times. But you don't want to be standing before him in judgment, saying, "Yeah, Lord, I messed up," and trying to answer why you didn't turn to him for help. Turn to him for help. He's not asking you to be perfect by yourself. He's asking you to depend on him. Ask for that help. Make the commitment today to, with his help. Again, you're not doing this yourself. This is not a matter of willpower. This is not a matter of being tough. This is a matter of falling at his feet and asking for help. Make that commitment to live the gospel message. Starting from now, the past is gone. All you have is the present moment. The future, it's not guaranteed. One day at a time. Lord, today, I will start living the gospel message. What is the gospel message? Well, you can find that out each day by reading some passage from the gospel. The daily Mass readings are great for that. That's why we do them on the program. Ask the Lord for the help to persevere. Take it one day at a time, and you will not be sorry. This will be your best Lent ever. I thank you so much for tuning in. God willing, I plan to be back here with you tomorrow. I hope you can tune in. Have a wonderful night. Have a blessed Holy Week. I'll be praying for you. Take care.